Amen. We have one more announcement that we failed to announce. Sisters Loving Sisters is having their annual Christmas banquet. This is on December 20th. Tickets are $20 for adults and $7 for children under 12. So you can see one of the ladies, purchase your tickets, and have a great time celebrating Christmas together. Amen. Amen. If you would stand with me and turn to 2 Corinthians. Did I say sit down already? My bad. No, I didn't. Ha. 2 Corinthians 9. Glory. I have that special spark tonight or something. 2 Corinthians 9 and then also John 3, 16. But 2 Corinthians 9, 15 says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And then John 3, 16, 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Amen. You may be seated. Christmas season is here. Trees are up, decorated, lit up. Icicle lights are hanging from the rooftop. Although in my case, only half of my rooftop. And I just noticed tonight the peak of my eave right in the middle of the string is out. Cheap icicle lights from Target on clearance last year. That's what I get. Although a chill is in the air resulting in hot chocolate being made, sitting by the fire maybe, or in our case under electric blanket because we don't have a fireplace. It's Christmas time. Amen. One of the most exciting parts of Christmas is gift giving. In 2 weeks from tonight, Mashan and Adrian and Fiona and I will be sitting down after our Christmas Eve service and opening one gift as a precursor to Christmas. It's an annual tradition, and there will be the inevitable efforts of Adrian and I to get another one opened and another one, and there will be the inevitable wait for tomorrow's speech. But from small and big kids alike, it's exciting to receive gifts, especially if they're Legos. But as I've grown older, there's really a joy in giving gifts. I love keeping track of my wife's comments throughout the year as we're shopping or out and about. And then 9 months later at Christmas time, she opens a gift and it's the thing she said she liked. Hopefully she still likes it. But that shock and awe and surprise and excitement that she wasn't even expecting, wasn't on her Christmas list, it's a fun thing to give gifts. Amen? I can just imagine that's how God is when we, his creation, unwrap the gift of eternal life. We come to an understanding that we are in need of a Savior, and then we receive his greatest gift, the unspeakable gift of salvation. We see the response in the Christmas story to the Savior coming to earth. One side of the nativity scene always has the wise men. In Matthew 2:1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." What did they do? In verse 9 through 11, "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." The response to the Savior was a giving of gifts. 1 John 3:16 says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." We know he loves us because he came to this earth, shed his blood for our sins, and that we might be saved. And what should our response be? Continuing on in verse 16, "And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Because we have received so much from the Lord, in turn we ought to be giving gifts ourselves. There's no better gift-giving Christmas song except the one where the songwriter's true love gave lords a-leaping, ladies dancing, pipers piping, drummers drumming, maids a-milking, swans a-swimming, geese a-laying, and some golden rings, collie birds, French hens, turtle doves, and a Lego in the pear tree. That's right, 12 days of Christmas, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. 12 days of Christmas, the P. Hill remix. we'll put it on the website as the gifts we should freely give. The gifts we should freely give. We have 12 gifts tonight. Each one of these could be flushed out into an entire message, but I want to give a little taste of each one only, and we are going to pray in a second here, and I ask that you pray that the Lord would open your spiritual ears. Let's pray that God would open our spiritual ears tonight, and if we're not freely giving one of these gifts, that he would show us. And it may be a different one for each one of us, or multiples in some cases. And if the Lord does show you, I want to encourage you to go home, make it a point to do a fleshed out Bible study. Again, we're just touching on the topics here, but do a fleshed out Bible study on that gift and that you feel an unction from the Holy Ghost on. So let's just pray right now that God would open our ears tonight. Lord, we thank you so much, Jesus, for this season, God. We can celebrate your birth coming down, Lord, and we know the result of that is a chance for us to be saved, giving of your life for our sins. Lord, we pray, God, as we discuss these 12 gifts, God, that Jesus, you would speak to our hearts, God. Help us, our spiritual ears to be open. Help us to, Lord, receive from you something tonight, and so we can go back, Lord Jesus, as a direction for our study time, Lord God, that we can flush it out and make this areas, God, these areas, God, better in our lives, God. We can grow and be better in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On the first day of Christmas, we should give freely. Come and find out this Sunday. On the second day of Christmas, we should give freely the gift of commitment. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing the entire message because that would be extra awkward. Paul was very clear on how he approached his relationship with Jesus. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You don't press toward something, a goal or a vision that you have for your life or a task that you want to do. You don't press toward something without being committed. The same is encouraged of others by the writer of the book of Hebrews in chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence. Again, another word that has a whole lot of meaning and unction behind it. Diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Why is commitment important? It's one of those gifts that has a benefit for yourself. I remember my dad always wrapped presents for himself and for everyone and put them as Santa Claus, and he just found things that he liked and gave himself gifts. But this is one of those gifts that, and I maybe do the same, I don't know. Anyways, it's one of those gifts that has a benefit. Why? Matthew 7:26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. When we're not fully committed, we'll stop hearing and doing. Why? Because we come to church and we're not committed, so we're not actively listening, and we're just, yeah, sounds good, amen. When we're not hearing and we're not doing what thus saith the word of the Lord, it puts us on a not-so-solid footing, sand, if you've ever tried to stand on sand, not-so-solid. We'll begin to slacken our relationship with God and with others and with our involvement in ministry, which affects other folks. So we should freely give the gift of commitment to the word of God, to prayer, to fasting, to the doctrine, to the ministries we're involved in. Folks will benefit from your commitment. That's a gift that we should be giving freely on the second day of Christmas. We should give freely the gift of commitment. Notice I changed keys without even trying. And come and find out the other one this Sunday. On the third day of Christmas, we should give freely the gift of friendship. The beautiful thing about this church and the church body is that we are a family. You can laugh at the, you know, I'm glad that I can feel, well, not really comfortable because I'm nervous as all get out being so awkward up here, but I'm glad that we can be awkward in front of each other. We're a family. 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We're not doing this on our own. Look to the person on your left. And then on your right, they're on the same journey as you. By the grace of God, they'll be spending eternity with you. A gift that we should freely give to those we are going to spend eternity with is our friendship here on earth. I think of David and Jonathan in the Bible, an example of such very, very close friends. Jonathan's dad was even trying to kill David, yet that didn't separate their friendship. Jonathan was a true friend in David's life, lifting him up. Go check out the story of their friendship if you want to be challenged in this area. But it is so important to be a friend who can lift someone up and also someone who can be concerned enough about someone that you point them toward Christ when they are veering in the wrong direction. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We can sharpen someone with our friendship, helping them see areas when they're slacking off and they start to slide. We can say, dude, you're having a horrible attitude. Let's go pray together about this. How do you give the gift of friendship? Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Simply, you have to be friendly. You have to smile. You have to take a chance and invite someone into your life. And that may be a difficult thing when you've been burned in the past. But we need to be friendly. We need to give the gift of friendship. On the third day of Christmas, we should give freely the gift of friendship, the gift of commitment, and come find out this Sunday. On the fourth day of Christmas, we should give freely the gift of unconditional love. That doesn't really go with the song, but it's okay. Let's just read some scriptures on this one that speak for themselves. John 13, verse 34 through 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. But by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another. Speaks for itself. 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also to love one another. We also ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Going down to 19 in chapter 4. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, you can't love someone you see, a physical person. How can you love God whom you have not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Yeah, I can love my brother here in the family of God. We're, you know, I can love my brother. Well, let me challenge you further with the gift of unconditional love. Again, speaking for itself, Matthew 5:43-48. Ye have heard that it hath been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's tough. I can ignore them and just like I'm okay with them and cool with them, but do good to them. Pray for them. Bless them. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Unconditional love is challenging. On the fourth day of Christmas, we should give freely the gift of unconditional love, the gift of friendship, the gift of commitment, and come and find out this Sunday. On the fifth day of Christmas, we should give freely the gift of encouragement. Best line of that whole song. Oh, Lord. I got to do that 7 more times. Anybody gone through a tough time in your life? A discouraging time? Raise your hand. I see some that haven't ever. But keep them raised. Keep them raised. Keep them raised. Now look around you. Look around you. Look at all the folks that have their hands raised. It's pretty much everybody. Every one of us at some point have faced some discouragement. And so the gift of encouragement is such a powerful one that we should give freely. Why? Because there always might be someone who needs encouragement. And you can always impact somebody with the gift of encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. If someone's going through something, link up with them and go through it together and pray for them. Encourage them. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Corrupt in this verse is translated rotten or worthless. Don't let worthless communication, but let what is good come out of your mouth. Let it edify folks. Tuesday of last week, I got an encouraging text, and it was one of those that I saw pop up on my phone, and I didn't really click on it, so I didn't see the whole thing. But the encouraging text was, you're awesome. That is all. LOL. Have a great day. And I saw the crux of the message, and I was like, oh, cool, you know. That's awesome. I appreciate friends in my life. And this Monday, 6 days later, just having a tough mental day and struggling with some thoughts and negative thinking, and I think it was at lunchtime, I was going through my phone, and I'm like, okay, let me clear out these texts. I had like 6 unread texts that I was ignoring, and sorry if I ignored your text. But I came across this, I clicked on it, and it was for that day. And it, you know, I had seen it 6 days earlier, but it wasn't just an encouraging text. Simple text. Silly text. You're awesome. That is all. LOL. Have a great day. And it lifted my spirits on Monday. I said, you know what? We're going to get through this day. It's going to be okay. Work is not going to kill me. I'm going to make it. Proverbs 12:25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The Bible says in the last days are going to be perilous times. The more we see God is on the cusp of coming back for his church, the crazier this world is going to be, the bigger the stress is. And so we need to exhort one another even more and encourage and look for ways and watch our people that are in our circle and look for signs of maybe some discouragement or whatever it may be and encourage them. Take the time. Give the gift of encouragement. Send a text. Send an email. Blow someone's mind and send them snail mail. Young people, let me explain. There's a pen and a card, it's like heavy paper, and you can write on it. And, oh, never mind. But you know how, like, mind-blowing it is to get, you know, you go out expecting junk mail, and it's like, mind-blown, like I got a card from someone. Cards are, I love getting cards. So if you don't want to send anyone else a card, send one to me. I love getting them. That's why I love Christmas, get the cards and all the smiling faces. But spend 47 cents on someone and make their day. And you don't have to buy like the, you know, $4.99, and now cards are ridiculous, like $6.99, the papyrus cards. And it's just like, okay, that's like a buy a pack of like 20, which equal out to like 20 cents a piece. Because it doesn't matter what the card says. It matters what you write. And you personalize and say, you know what, hey, I'm praying for you. Man, you did a great job singing the other, whatever it may be. Encourage someone with a card. That's why I like the concept we have here at CGC of the Secret Sisters. one way to give some encouragement. Ladies, I put a plug. I wasn't asked to, but they can pay me later. But get involved in Secret Sisters. It's a way for you to encourage and maybe get some encouragement yourself if you're going through some things. So on the fifth day of Christmas, we should give freely. This is really high. The gift of encouragement, the gift of unconditional love, the gift of friendship, the gift of commitment. And come and find out this Sunday. Anyways. On the sixth day of Christmas, we should give freely the gift of grace. Let's take another poll. How many of you ever made a mistake? Keep your hands raised. Look around. Pretty much everyone. Some people are perfect, but everyone else made a mistake. What another great gift that could benefit everyone. Were we to give it? We all make mistakes. We all say the wrong thing at times. We all react the wrong way. Sometimes I'm grumpy and I react the wrong way. Sometimes I was busy as a youth leader and I didn't notice the young person who was right there waiting for me to shake their hand, and I didn't shake their hand and it upset them. And sometimes we make poor decisions. Sometimes we just make mistakes. But it's up to us what we do with another person's mistake. We can be critical. We can be judgmental. We can crucify them at the altar of public opinion. We can destroy their spirit with how we react. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. We should freely give grace. I overheard a conversation once between two young mothers. One was just giving their opinion on a kid topic and what they had found in their research and what they were thinking about doing and approaching raising their child. And the other jumped all over them. That's the dumbest idea ever. You don't want to do that. That's crazy. That's not going to work. And I could tell the first mother was really bothered by it. Do you find yourself always strongly giving your opinion in response to someone else's opinion? Why do you have to give your opinion? If you disagree with someone, do you always have to make it a point to tell them like it is and show them how dumb of a person they are for thinking that way? We should give grace. We should give the benefit of the doubt. We should not jump to conclusions. We should not assume the worst in people. It's okay for someone else to think differently, as long as it's not unbiblically based, just in general life things. Let's show grace and just be okay with who they are. We should give grace. There's an interesting story in the Bible, 1 Chronicles 19, 1 through 3. It says, now it came to pass after this that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, died. Their leader died, and his son reigned in his stead. And David said, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness to me. And David sent messengers to comfort him concerning his father. So the servants of David came into the land of the children of Ammon to Hanun to comfort him. But the princes of the children of Ammon said to Hanun, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Are not his servants come unto thee for to search and to overthrow and to spy out the land? David was just showing kindness to a people who had just lost their leader. And the Ammonites assumed the worst in David. He's taking this opportunity to spy out our land because he wants to overthrow us. This has nothing to do with the loss. They assumed the worst in David. What happened? They shamed David's messenger, sent them back, and as a result, David destroyed them. No hidden agenda. Exactly. Don't like my gift? Oh, my. He didn't have a hidden agenda, but they assumed the worst and were destroyed because of it. We should assume the best in people. If we overhear something as we're walking by, man, I've had this, like, working as a youth pastor, young people be like, I'm so upset they were looking at me. So? And that's not just young people, adults. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe she looked at me that way. She was thinking this, assuming the worst. Why don't you have grace enough to say, you know what, they probably just were, you know, people watching, or you know what, they just happened to glance over, and that wasn't a negative look. Let's assume the best. Let's have some grace. We should freely give the gift of grace on the sixth day of Christmas. We should give freely the gift of grace, the gift of encouragement, the gift of unconditional love, the gift of friendship, the gift of commitment, and the last one, come and find out this Sunday. On the seventh day of Christmas, we should give freely the gift of forgiving. Matthew 6, 9 through 12, after this manner, therefore pray ye. This is Jesus talking, giving a template for prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Number one, praise the Lord. Number two, God, let your will be done. Number three, supply my needs. Number four, forgive me even as I'm forgiving others. Why is this such an important gift to freely give? Later in chapter 6 and verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Man, we all raised our hands pretty much for making mistakes. I want to be forgiven for the mistakes I make. So I've got to forgive others. And how often should we forgive? How much should we forgive someone? This is why it's on day 7 of Christmas. Because Matthew 18, 21, 22, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Seventh day of Christmas. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Well, I'm at 491, God. I don't have to forgive. Get the principle. Get the principle. We should forgive. No matter how many times we have to forgive, we need to forgive others. Unforgiveness will lead us down the road toward bitterness if we're not careful, if we let that unforgiveness stay in our heart. Hebrews 12, 14, 17 through 17, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, which for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. We need to forgive others. I love how Bishop has taught us over the years of and about this concept and how it's like we're shackling ourselves. I always think that we're shackling ourselves to someone when we're unforgiving of them and their actions, and yet they have no clue. And every time you see them, it's like, ugh! And they're just going on their merry way, singing the 12 days of Christmas like a crazy person. Don't shackle yourself to someone. Forgive. If anything, just sing the song, let it go, let it go. But on the seventh day of Christmas, well, that's too high, we should give freely the gift of forgiving, the gift of grace, the gift of encouragement, the gift of unconditional love, the gift of friendship, the gift of commitment, and the last one, come and find out this Sunday. I'm not going to tell you. On the eighth day of Christmas, we should give freely the gift of thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. Not the good stuff. Everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Colossians 2, 6 through 7, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's not just saying, and have a little thanksgiving. No, abounding. That's a whole lot of thanksgiving. There are so many benefits of giving the gift of thanksgiving that affects others. It ushers us into the presence of God. Psalms 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. When we come in here And we just begin to thank him no matter what's going on in our day. Thank him for life. Thank him for breath. Find something. There's something in our lives that we can be thankful. That just ushers us into the presence of God. And those around us will be encouraged. And it brings the presence of God. It promotes health. Psalms 92:1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Good here is, it means appropriate action. It's a good thing to do it. We should do it. But it also speaks the effect of giving thanks, that there is a good effect. When you're thankful, there's peace. There's a joy. There's a happiness. A great state of mind. When we're thankful, and it gets our minds off things and puts things into perspective when we're thankful. And it promotes unity, Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. The commentary of Albert Barnes on this scripture says, for the phrase, and be ye thankful, for all mercies and especially for your privileges and hopes as a Christian. A spirit of thankfulness also would tend much to promote harmony and peace. An ungrateful people is commonly a tumultuous, agitated, restless, dissatisfied people. Nothing better tends to promote peace and order than gratitude to God for his mercies. We should be thankful. We should be thankful. On the eighth day of Christmas, we should give freely the gift of thanksgiving, the gift of forgiving, the gift of grace, the gift of encouragement, the gift of unconditional love, the gift of friendship, the gift of commitment. And you still have to come and find out this Sunday. On the ninth day of Christmas, we should give freely the gift of careful speaking. Using the ing words, because that's how the song uses it. Sorry, just had to point that out. Proverbs 18:21, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. It's small, but it can spark a wildfire. James 3:5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, I just read that. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. Let's repeat. Our words are powerful. So a great gift that we should give freely is the gift of careful speaking. Many confrontations, arguments, and division could be avoided if someone would just have a soft answer. Proverbs 51, a soft answer turn away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You want to get someone hot? They come at you hot. You want to get them hotter? Say something back to them. It's just going to escalate, which does absolutely no good. James 1, 19-20, wherefore, my brethren, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. There's nothing righteous in getting a heated discussion. Going tit for tat with someone and allowing a tense situation to escalate is not the righteousness of God. It's not God's will that we are careless with our words. Words can be hurtful. So we should be careful with what we say. We read that life and death are in the tongue, and we can definitely kill someone's spirit with our words. Careless words can be destructive. He's not in here. He's in the class, but I told him I was going to say something. Devin and I were roommates back in the day, Devin Hackla, many moons ago. And one morning he gave me a scripture, and he said, Phil, look up Proverbs 27:14. And then he went back to sleep. And I love this one. He that blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be accounted a curse to him. That's in the Bible, folks. And I felt the conviction of the Lord and prayed through, and he was sleeping, so I couldn't escalate it, but on the ninth day of Christmas, we should give freely the gift of careful speaking, the gift of thanksgiving, the gift of forgiving, the gift of grace, the gift of encouragement, the gift of unconditional love, the gift of friendship, the gift of commitment. And yes, just come and find out this Sunday. On the tenth day of Christmas, we should give freely the gift of an answer. Luke 20, starting 21 through 26, and they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. Neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar, or no? But he perceived their craftiness. They were trying to trip him up, and said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Show me a penny, whose image and superscription hath it. They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We live in a world that is looking for answers. A gift we should give freely is that answer. And maybe it's nefarious, that word. Maybe it's the wrong motive, like these folks were doing. They're trying to trip them up and say, oh, you're a Christian? Well, for example, well, why is there all these wars in the world if God is so good? Do you have an answer for that? We live in a world that's looking for answers. We need to be prayed up and ready and willing to provide an answer to someone's questions. Maybe their motive is pure and say, you know what, I don't know what I'm going to do, this and this and this. My family, my spouse just left me, and this and this and this. Do we have an answer? You may never know the situation that your coworker is facing or the questions they have about their worth in life or their purpose on earth. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. They'll sense a hope. Do you have an answer if someone says, why are you so happy? Because I just listened to the song, Happy? No. Why didn't you react when the boss totally screamed at us? Because I didn't want to. What? Do you have an answer that, you know what? I prayed this morning. If you are ready to give an answer and in your daily devotion, you say, God, I may face some questions today. Let me be ready to answer it. You may not know the answers to every situation and every question they may have, but God will spark your spirit in that moment. Even if it's to say, you know what? I don't know that answer. Let me go back and check it out in the Bible. Let me find out, because that's a great question. Even if it's something like that, be ready to give an answer. Why? Because people are wondering what the reason is that you have hope, that you're happy, that you seemingly have purpose in life. What a great gift to give is the answer to questions folks have. On the 10th day of Christmas, we should give freely the gift of an answer, the gift of careful speaking, the gift of thanksgiving, the gift of forgiving, the gift of grace, the gift of encouragement, the gift of unconditional love, the gift of friendship, the gift of commitment, and come and find out the Sunday. On the 11th day of Christmas, we should give freely the gift of ministry. 1 Peter 4:10 through 11, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Have you noticed the progression of these gifts tonight? We started off with committing ourselves. We went to basic interactions with others, and now we're at the place that the gifts are reaching out. We should give the gift of ministry. The word minister in the above scripture means to wait upon, be an attendant. When we minister, we are simply meeting the needs of others. James 2:14 through 16, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, I'm going to pray for you. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? We shouldn't just pray for somebody. If we have the means, we should wait on them. We should minister to them. We should freely give the gift of ministry. even our leaders need to be ministered to, and we should look for ways to do it. Paul talked about this in his letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:16 to 18. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Here's a guy who is not really mentioned anywhere else except right here. And yet he was one who Paul calls out as, you know what, this guy ministered to me. I've been traveling the world, starting churches, encouraging people, and seeing the power of the Holy Ghost. But this dude, when I was in chains, when I was in Rome and in chains, when I was at Ephesus, man, this guy sought me out to do something good for me, to help me out, to bring some refreshing. Maybe it's just a batch of warm Fire Fills cookies. Maybe it's a smiling face. Maybe it's watching someone, a young couple's kid, so they can go on a date night for free. Maybe it's mowing someone's yard or plowing their snow, or I love to do that, so don't offer. It's so much fun. Or hanging their Christmas lights. Whatever the case may be, we can minister to someone. We can meet someone's need. It's important that we pray. It's important if there's need, we can pray. But if we can help them, don't just pray. You know what? Oh, I'm having problems with my car. Well, we've got car mechanics. Maybe we can contact them in the church, and maybe we can help you out, maybe get a deal. Or you know what? I know someone who would just do it for labor, and or not the labor free, and just do it for the parts at cost. If you have resources, help someone out. Don't just pray for them. We should pray, but we need to go on into a role of ministry. On the 11th day of Christmas, we should give freely the gift of ministry, the gift of an answer, the gift of careful speaking, the gift of thanksgiving, the gift of forgiving, the gift of grace, the gift of encouragement, the gift of unconditional love, the gift of friendship, the gift of commitment. And yes, come still and find out this Sunday. Finally, on the 12th day of Christmas, we should give freely the gift of mentoring. Pastor talked to us in our leadership meeting about this, and we should find somebody to help along the way in this walk with Jesus. It doesn't matter if you've been living for the Lord for 6 months or 60 years. There's always someone who could be mentored by you. If you're a baby in the Lord, find a younger baby in the Lord. Encourage them. Show them the ropes that you've already learned. Get excited with them. If you're an elder in the church, find someone, encourage them. Show them the ropes that you've learned over the years. Take someone under your wing. Paul was passionate about the people he was ministering to in Romans 1:11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. We should be looking for someone to help get established. And maybe it's just in one area of life. Maybe it's not the whole school. Maybe it's just one area of prayer. If you have a passion for prayer and you've learned some things, or and someone's you know is struggling with prayer, take them under your wing in that small area. Maybe it's not their whole life, and you get into parenting and family. Maybe that's beyond you, but you know what? This one area I have a passion for, and there's someone I can help. I saw the power of this firsthand. We were blessed to go to Greece at the end of October, which is where I was born. My parents, as full-time missionaries, started there, later went to Germany. It's 25, 30 years later, 25 since I had gone last when we left when I was 10. And we went to a banquet Friday night, and they had folks stand up and talk about just what the Crossroads, which is the church there, has meant. This was a celebration of the church, their 39th year, and we were just we weren't anything featured or anything, but we just came to celebrate as a family and attend this. But there's folks who got up that made comments about my parents that really stirred me. One lady got up and said, I still have the outlines and the pages that you taught me, Pastor Demas, what you taught me a Bible study back when I was first in the church. And now this lady's an Indian lady, And now she's such a pillar of their church. And she's like, I still use them to teach others. And just comment after comment, after 25 years, I'm still in this. Why? Because you poured into me. And it just made such an impact on me. And just like, I want to make an impact of that magnitude, that in 25 years when, you know, I'm old and gray and still playing with Legos, that folks come up and say, you know, you made an impact 25 years ago. Whatever it may be. In this era, man, you spoke into our marriage when we were a young couple and really helped us get our footing on. I'd love to hear that. That really challenged me when we went to Greece. And we should be doing the same. 1 Peter 5:1-4, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not because you have to, not because pastor says we need to, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's inheritance, I'm the Lord over these people, but just being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Elders, us older young adults need you. We need you. Young adults, the youth need you. Youth, the kids need you. Need to be an example. And this flows into all your life of watching what you say, watching what you watch, watching what you talk about, how you act, how you react. That's a challenge when you really understand that there's someone watching you. That's a huge challenge. Because I don't want to be the reason someone walked away and questioned God. If you're not giving the gift of mentoring, make it a point to find someone in the new year that you can help get established. Just come alongside with. Encourage them. If Sister Vicky could come on the 12th day of Christmas, we should give freely the gift of mentoring, the gift of ministry, the gift of an answer, the gift of careful speaking, the gift of thanksgiving, the gift of forgiving, the gift of grace, the gift of encouragement, the gift of unconditional love, the gift of friendship, the gift of commitment. And yes, you're just going to have to come and find out this Sunday. Would you stand with me? There's a whole lot of things that we can give this world, give to others. And we prayed at the beginning, and I hope that as we highlighted these areas, briefed over, that God spoke to your heart about something, that God challenged you in one or more of these areas. And I want to encourage you again, if a specific gift was stirred in your spirit, you know what, I'm really not doing that, God. Yeah, I don't really have anyone mentoring. No, you know what? I'm not really friendly. God, I haven't really encouraged someone. I haven't sent a card in the mail in years. Be challenged and stirred. And I challenge you to do a scripture study. Flush it out more, because there's more about each one of them. Every one of these could be an entire message. But study it out. And so as we begin to sing, I'd ask that everyone just find a place to pray and talk to the Lord and say, okay, God, which of these, Lord, am I supposed to work on next? Maybe there's 5 of them, but God, which one do I need to start tomorrow working on? Which one do I need to work on? Again, won't you find a place to pray? The gifts are ministry, mentoring, thanksgiving, an answer, having a careful speaking, a gift of thanksgiving and of forgiving and having grace with people. The gift of encouraging others, the gift of unconditional love, even our enemies, even those who despitefully use us, the gift of friendship, the gift of commitment. Won't you find a place to pray? Won't you let the Lord speak to your heart in these areas? Let Him show you what He wants you to do. If you have ears to hear what God is stirring in this place, stirring in your heart for your specific family. Let's find a place to pray. Let's seek the Lord.